for a little procedure. Nothing major, but he's home tonight. Nothing's wrong, so don't. He's got to have a little procedure tomorrow, so he need to. Guess take some medicine or something for it. So anyway, our mission conference is coming up real close, and I was gonna do a lesson about missions, why missions, and importance of missions and stuff. But you know, on a Wednesday night, a lot of you guys here pretty much I think would be active in it. So this message we're gonna hold maybe to a Sunday night or something like that. But we're gonna go as we're in John chapter 21. Familiar lesson to the teenagers, but I think teenagers need to hear it 2 or 3 times to get it. But anyway, the title of the message simply is, Do you really love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus? That's a simple title. In John chapter 21, we're going to look at the several verses, but men and people make promises that they don't keep. One of Jesus' own disciples made a promise that he did not keep. We all know who that disciple was, right? Peter. He said he would lay down his life for Jesus. He said he would give everything for his master. And he even said, I won't deny thee. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 35, Peter said, I will not deny thee. But when just in a few hours, Peter would deny him 3 times. Jesus predicted that night that he, Peter, would deny the Lord 3 times before the cock crows. All 4 gospel writers records this, Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and then also in John chapter 13. But after the cock crow, Peter was beside himself. And we see in all the references that Peter wept. He goes on in Luke, it says he wept bitterly. He went out and he left. He was very sorrowful. His spirit was giving up. He was quitting, throwing in the towel. He was disheartened, discouraged, ashamed of himself. He felt like a failure. He felt like he was a loser. He felt like he wasn't worthy. And I can go on and on with words and describe probably how Peter felt. And there's probably been times in our own Christian lives as we walk and live for the Lord that, you know, that we felt like, you know, we're losers. We don't do a good job, and we feel like we want to quit at the time, throw in the towel. And if you look at verse 3, where we started tonight, and Peter was beside himself. He says, you know, in verse 3, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. He's going fishing. He said unto them, he's going fishing. Simon Peter told the other disciples, his old partners in fishing, the disciples, that, hey, I'm out of here. I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what I once did. And they said, Peter, we also go with thee. So not only Peter was going to leave, other disciples were ready to say, hey, we're going to go too. So they went forth out, and they entered. They got into that ship that night, that boat, immediately. And then they went and fished all night, like a previous time we heard. And they caught nothing. When Peter said he was going fishing, he wasn't just saying, hey, I'm going to pop out tonight on the Sea of Galilee just for a relaxing night, and let's go ahead and see if we can catch any fish for the fun of it, for the sake of it. No, Peter was disheartened. He was discouraged with himself, and he was just ready to just throw it in. But not only was it affecting him going fishing, and his attitude and everything, it affected others around him. He's going back to his old lifestyle, of being a fisherman when he first met Jesus. And even some of the other disciples were willing to follow Peter and say, hey, we'll go fishing with you. And a lot of times, you know, we need to be careful, because when we get discouraged, we get in a bad attitude, you know, we affect others too. But tonight, you know, as we look at this story in John chapter 21, mainly keying in on verses, you know, 15 and so, we're going to look and see. But in Revelation 2:4, Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, he said, nevertheless, I have something against thee. What was that? What did he have against them? They left their first love. And Peter, you know, called to be a disciple, he's at this brink of disappointment and disheartened and ready just to say, I'm out of here, I'm done, I'm giving up. But just in a few hours, when meeting Jesus again, seeing Jesus and coming and getting encouragement, things are going to change. Despite Peter's failures, he is forgiven. He is reinstated as a disciple. He's reminded that it really means to be a Christian and not just serving, and how do we all to love the Lord. There might be times in our Christian walks that we might let the Lord down. But the Lord ain't going to give up on us. And it's like the Father was there with his arms waiting for his Son to return. Our Heavenly Father is just waiting for us return to back to him when we give. And tonight's message is simply this. I got 4 points. First point is, when Jesus asked Peter, "Lovest thou me?" The first thing I look at and I see is that we must have a supreme love for the Lord. If we're really going to love him like we ought to, it's got to be a supreme love. Let's look at verses 15, 16, 17. When they have had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." He saith unto them, "Feed my lambs." He saith unto him a second time, Jesus says to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." Then a third time. Then he saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." And I think, as I think about it, it's like, how many times did Peter deny the Lord? Three times. And I think the Lord is just reiterating, you deny me. And I'm asking you for once and for all, do you really love me, Peter? Do you? Then, you're not going to go catch fish. You're going to feed my lamb. You're going to feed my sheep. You really say you love me? Show it. And the Lord, Peter there. And the third time, Peter was grieved. I think Peter caught the picture. He knew it. Lord, I denied you three times, Lord, and now you're asking me. But the first thing Jesus asked Peter, do you truly love me more than these? Did you ever think about that verse right there, that statement? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? We cannot really be sure what the these are. Is Jesus asking Peter if he loved him more than his old life? Does he love him more than being a fisherman? Do you love me more than your boat? Do you love me more than your nets? Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these, your money you have? Do you love me more than these, your family, your old occupation? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these other fishermen, your other fellows, your other disciples, my disciples? Do you love me more than these? We're not sure what the these are. But I don't guarantee when he was saying it to Peter and talking to Peter, and Peter's there, Peter knew what he was talking about. It doesn't really matter what the really these are. But do you love something more than you love the Lord? So we ask ourselves, do you love the Lord more than anything else? Is the Lord supreme in your life? Is he first place? Is he above, beyond anything in your life? My wife's special to me, but my wife is second place in my life, behind the Lord. And rightly so, our spouse should be, because the Lord should be first in any of our life. Our wives, our children, they take a behind the Lord. Our ministries, we're involved, different things, they're either further down. But lovest thou me, Peter, do you love me supremely? Or do you love? Peter, you're going back fishing. Do you love me or do you want to go back fishing? Do you want to go back to your old ways? Of course he didn't. So I ask you, each and every one of you, to take a second to think. Do you love the Lord supremely? You know, would you be more upset if you lost your phone or your Bible? Would you be more upset if the kids ripped your newspaper or ripped your book or ripped your Bible? Where do you draw the line? Do you be more upset that, you know, storm comes and destroys your vacation, or comes and you gotta cancel church because of a storm on Sunday? You get more upset. Where is your love? What do you value most in life? What are you horrified? What bothers you the most if you were to lose it? I mean, yes, if I lose my wife, it's going to affect me greatly. If I lose any of my children, it's going to affect me greatly. But I know with my wife, she's saved, I'm saved, I'll see her again in heaven. Amen. My children, I believe they all made a profession of salvation. They all said they're saved. Lord willing, they will hopefully are saved. And we'll see them again. What horrifies you the most about losing? Are you inconvenienced in losing a small amount of money? What values you more? Your friends? What do you come to church for? Do you come to church to see your friends? Do you come to church? Maybe you came to church tonight to see pastor, hear pastor, and instead you're disheartened because you got me instead. What bothers you most? Hearing, you know, losing the fellowship with God. Supreme love. Loving the Lord. I think when the church doors are open, we should do our best to be here. And again, I'm preaching, this is Wednesday night, so I'm preaching to the choir kind of saying here because you guys are here. But it is important. People say you love God. And I hear this. Oh, I love God. I love God. Then you're like, when was the last time you're in church? You love God supremely. When's the last time you shared Jesus with somebody else? You love God supremely. When's the last time you gave of yourself? I think as you see in verses 15 through 17, lovest thou me? If you're really going to love the Lord like we ought to, it's got to be supreme love. He's got to be first in your life. It's got to be more important than fishing. It's got to be more important than snowmobiling. It's more important than our jobs. More important than family time. You know, our personal time with the Lord. You know, supreme love. Sacrifice. And number two, not only I see a supreme love, I see a suffering love. In verse 18, the Lord says to Peter, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." I see real love for Jesus is a suffering love. A real love for Jesus has got to be supreme love. But number two is going to be a suffering love. There's going to be times where you're going to suffer. We're going to suffer for the name of Christ. It's always not going to be a bed of roses, a box of chocolates, or cherries. Remember, sometimes in life and the Lord is saying to Peter, you know, it's not going to be easy. You're going to suffer. You love me, like you say you love me, you're going to suffer. Jesus compares Peter's life when he was young, when he started following Jesus. And as he's tearing on, And as he goes in and as he starts getting older and living, that he's going to get older and he's going to start suffering. He's going to start. And you can look at the life of Peter. You know, we're not told as much about Peter as we are Paul, but we are told that Peter suffered. We are told that Peter went through a lot. We told that he was tortured. We also told, because of his faithfulness to Jesus, we find himself being dressed and led to where he does not want to go. We see he's stretched out hands. Jesus telling Peter that one day, Peter, you're going to face a death just like I did. And the Lord was telling Peter, you're going to die just like me. And as time goes on, and Peter is going to be executed, Peter is going to be put to death. And tradition, your church tradition, is that Peter was crucified. But Peter was going to be crucified just like his Lord was. But Peter said, I'm not worthy of that. And so Peter said, hang me upside down and crucify me. And he hung upside down and was crucified. But here in verse 18, again, the Lord's saying, hey, you're going to suffer for the cause of Christ. You're going to suffer for me. But if you love me, Peter, you're going to be willing to do that. We're in ministry. You come to church. You're a Christian. And praise God, we live in America. You know, we don't face the persecution as they do so other many places, in Muslim countries and other places. We don't have to worry about going out there and getting our throat cut tonight. Can happen, but most likely it's not going to happen. But one day there might come a day where we don't have our religious liberties and freedoms here in America. One day you might be like that girl in Concubine, or Calibine, the school, excuse me. Yeah, Concubine, there you go. I wanted you all to feel like I was pastor tonight, so. Give me a drink on that one. Moving on. When the guy held a gun and says about her denying Jesus, and she said no, and he shot her and killed her. There might come a day you're going to be had to stand up, deny Jesus, or die. Are you willing to suffer and say, kill me? Because I'm not going to denounce my faith in Christ. There might come a day where we're suffering for Christ. Maybe we're locked up in jail or something. Are you willing to suffer? It's a supreme love. We need to love the Lord supremely. We need to love the Lord suffering. We're going to have to learn to suffer. Number three, also in verse 19, I see a submitting love. The Lord tells Peter, you're going to have to submit. Submit. This spake he, signifying by which death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, he saith unto Peter, follow me. Follow me. Those two very simple words, follow me. They're simple, easy words, but they are profound. They are profound words. They are words with profound consequences. They mean that people who love Jesus are to walk in his footsteps and do what the Lord would do. Submitting ourselves to him. Submitting our ways to what the Lord wants. A person who won't submit to Jesus can't really love him like you ought to. You can't. Willing to submit to him. Submit to his will. I share this illustration with the teenagers, and I'll share it with you guys because it really points. You know, a captain of a ship one night, in a dark night on the sea, saw faint lights out in the distance. He promptly tells his signal man to send a message to that ship. Turn your ship 10 degrees south because we're coming. And promptly, shortly after the signal man sent the message, a return message came back and was, we received your message. Alter your course 10 degrees north, the voice said back to them. The captain says, what? You're disregarding my direction when I'm telling you to go north or south? And the captain told him, he's committed. You tell that guy that I said go 7 degrees south. And put on it, the captain said so. And soon after, the voice came back and says, alter your degree 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. And immediately the captain sent a third message, knowing that he was upset. And alter your degree 10 degrees south, because I am a battleship and I will blow you out of the water. And the reply came back, Captain, I don't care who you are. Alter your degrees 10 degrees north, for I am a lighthouse. And if you crash into me, you might think you're something. But in reality, we're nothing without the Lord. And we must submit ourselves to what the Lord wants. Are you doing what God wants you to do in your life? Are there areas in your life that you're in control in, that you're controlling? Or have you given it all over to the Lord? James chapter 4, verse 7a. If you don't know these verses, you haven't ever memorized the verses, memorize them. Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Submit. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. If we love the Lord, like we say, then we're going to have to be submitting. Not what I want to do in my life. It's what you want me to do. And it leads us to our last point, and that's the fourth point. It's a surrendering love. A surrendering love. What does it mean to surrender to God? Well, this world is a battleground. Ever since Adam and Eve fell in the garden, the world God created has been in conflict ever since. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8. The Bible tells us that Satan is the god of this world due to Adam's sin, and we're all born to Adam's team, or onto Adam's, into the sinful nature, Romans 5:12. And we all must make a choice what side we're going to be on. Choose you this day, as Joshua said, right? God promised when we seek him with all our hearts, we will find him, Jeremiah 29:13. And when we find him, we have to make a choice. Do we continue following doing our own ways, or do we surrender our will to his will? You know, the word surrender is a battle term. It implies giving up rights. It's giving up all your rights to the conqueror. When opposing army surrenders, they lay down their arms, they lay down their weapons, they lay down everything. The winner takes control of them and takes control of all. The good news is that God's plans for us is always, God has his best interest, our best interest in mind, amen? Everything he does, Jeremiah 29:11, he has our best interest in mind. And he wants us to have the best, Proverbs 14:12. Our Lord is the wise benefactor for us, beneficial, giving us victory, giving us conquering us, giving us blessings beyond. And there are different levels of surrender. And the first level of surrender is when you get saved. You die to yourself. You say, Lord, you ask the Lord to save you. You first surrender. But as we grow and continue in our Christian walk, we need to say, Lord, I want to go closer to you. I want my ways to be your ways. I want my thoughts to be your thoughts. What I do. And part of my prayer is, Lord, I want wherever my feet go this day, I want to be pleasing unto you. What my eyes see, what my hands do, what my mouth say, what my ears hear, I want to be pleasing to you. Lord, I surrender. And Lord, not my will this day, Lord, your will in my life. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. And it's something that we must surrender. We must surrender every day, afresh and anew. Apostle Paul said, I die daily. And we got to surrender our will and say, Lord, you take me and you do use me this day how you choose to. I surrender my will. The more areas of our lives that we surrender to him, the more room the Holy Spirit has to fill us. Ephesians 5:18. And when we are filled with the Spirit, we will exhibit the character of God, his characters. His characters that we can see in Galatians chapter 5 with the fruit of the Spirit. The more we surrender to God, the more our self-worship nature, our doing our own things, will die. And the more we will look like and act like Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Romans 6:13 says God demands us that we totally surrender ourselves. He don't want us partly surrender. He wants us fully surrender. Amen? And we must do that. For if we want to be the followers, we must deny ourselves. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. When he called the people unto him, he said unto his disciples, whosoever shall come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's surrender. It's surrendering your will. The goal to the Christian life is can be summed up in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. I die daily. Such a life of surrender is pleasing to God. It's a life of fulfillment. It's a life of ultimate rewards that we will see one day in heaven. Luke chapter 6. Real love. Real love. I asked the title of the message, Lovest Thou Me? Do you love the Lord? It's easy to say we love the Lord. But in reality, do we love the Lord? Real love for Jesus, it's supreme love. Do you love him more than anything else? It's not only supreme love, it's suffering love. Are you willing to suffer for the Lord? Being prepared to accept the consequences that might come your way for living a faithful life for the Lord? Are you willing to suffer for Christ? Are you willing to submit, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done? Are you willing to give in and let him have total authority over you? Are you willing to, number four, the surrendering love, dying to self and letting him live his life through you? The light of all that will say yes, Jesus asks us. He asked Peter then, and he even asks us today, Do we love the Lord? Do you love me? So the question I say, do you love the Lord? Do you love him like you ought to? Supreme love, suffering love, a submitting love, and a surrendering love. Lord, I do thank you, Lord, for the evening. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity to stand up here and share the word of God. And Lord, just like Peter, Lord, there might be times in our life we get disheartened, discouraged, and feel like we're ready to throw in the towel. But Lord, you still love us, and Lord, we need to get encouraged and strengthened. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that that we won't just say we love you, but Lord, we show it and we'll demonstrate it and we'll live it. And Lord, that we'll love you more than anything. And Lord, we'll suffer for the name of Christ. And Lord, that we will submit and surrender our will to you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we glorify and honor you in our lives. Pray you bless now the remaining of the service. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Bill.
Let me share with you this evening a couple of missionary letters The first one is dated August, September 2018, so we're right on the mark here. This is from the the Hollands, and they're going to Norway. And you'll remember that Beth Holland used to be Beth Zandi out of this church. So let me go over the letter they wrote to us. Greetings, what an eventful summer it's been. We've been blessed to be in a number of churches these last months and have had several partner with us financially. Please continue to pray with us as we would be able to be at or near 85% by January 1st, 2019. The Lord continues to bless and increase our support. We are nearing 70%. By God's grace, we look forward to two more churches or a few more churches partnering with us in the next few months. It must be contagious. A couple of prayer and a couple of praises. A couple of significant prayer requests and praises have arisen. Early in August, while traveling back to Ohio from a meeting in West Virginia, we noticed a problem with our vehicle. The transmission would not enter reverse. We praised the Lord that we were able to get home and to get the van in the shop. After a few days of diagnosis, the report came back, we need a new transmission. Thankfully, we were able to replace the transmission and get back on the road a couple of weeks later. Please continue to pray that our vehicle will stay running well for the remainder of our deputation. We ask for prayer as well for our change in housing. Up until this month, we've kept a small apartment near our home church. Due to a variety of circumstances, we will be transitioning to staying with family for the remainder of the deputation. This has also given us the opportunity to begin the process of sorting through our belongings and deciding what we will be taking with us when we leave for Norway. We would appreciate prayers for wisdom and discernment as we move a little closer to arriving on the field. Our schedule, August is usually a slower month for meetings, but we still had the opportunity to visit a number of churches and be at our missions agency annual training classes. This is always a blessing, and we love the fellowship of our co-laborers in Christ. God has been faithful to us, and we are looking forward to a busy fall. In his service, Russell, Beth, and Ada Hollands. So keep the Hollands in your prayers. Our second letter comes to us from the Philippines, the Staubles, Nancy and Bob. It's dated August/October 2018. So we're right on course here. Matthew 13:52 says, "Then saith he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasures things new and old." Dear praying friends at Friendship Baptist Church, we hope you are well and growing closer to Jesus every day. There is a two-day break for a Muslim holiday. This is a national holiday now, and it is another reminder of the darkness so many lives are in all around us. The Muslim community celebrates this holiday to commemorate their belief that God commanded the prophet Abraham to sacrifice his son, the prophet Ishmael, on the altar. They believe Abraham obeyed and God spared Ishmael and not Isaac's life. This completely goes against what the Bible teaches. Isaac was the son of God's promise. Through his line, Jesus our Savior came and would provide the way for all people in the world to be blessed. It is another reminder that people believe many things, but Jesus is the only way, truth, and life, and his word contained in the Bible. It is a privilege to teach the Bible from the beginning. Like the other scribe instructed in the kingdom of heaven, there are important things to be taught in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. The Old Testament points to the cross and the salvation Jesus paid for. The offer of eternal life with God is for all Muslims and all others who will come and believe in Jesus as their Savior. Please pray for the teachings in the school. The teaching is going well, and the students are mostly very attentive. One of the schools is bustling at the seams with so many new students coming into the school system. Two schools are